गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा वनचारी जमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन
जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिवचकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सतश श्रीमद डिवाइन करे श्रील एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की श्री रूप श्री सनातन भट्ट रघुनाथ श्री जीव गोपाल भट्ट दास रघुनाथ सदगो स्वामी प्रभुगण की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड श्री राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रज भूमि वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा मैया जमुना मैया की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतिरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिरभवती नैष्ठिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 11 एंटाइटल लॉर्ड कृष्णास एंट्रेंस इनटू द्वारका टेक्स्ट नंबर 12 सर्वर्तु सर्ववैभव पुण्य वृक्ष लता स्मृहा उद्यानो पवर्णारण्य वृता पद्माकर श्रियम् सर्वर्तु सर्ववैभव पुण्यवृक्षालतास्मर्मे उद्यानोपवर्णारम्ये वृता पद्माकर श्रियम् सर्वर्तु सर्ववैभव पुण्यवृक्षालतास्मर्मे उद्यानोपवर्णरम्ये पिता पद्माकर श्रियम् सर्वर्तु सर्ववैभव पुण्यवृक्षालतास्मरे मे उद्यानोपवर्णरम्ये वृता पद्माकर श्रियम्
Adajis. Sarva, all, Ritu, seasons, Sarva, all, Vaibhava, opulences, Punya, pious, Vriksha, trees, Lata, creepers, Ashramay, with hermitages, Udyana, orchards, Upavan, flower gardens, flower gardens, Aramya, pleasure gardens and beautiful parks. Vrita, surrounded by Padma Akara, the birthplaces of lotuses or nice reservoir of water. Shriyam, increasing the beauty. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the city of Dwarkapuri was filled with the opulences of all seasons. There were hermitages, orchards, flower gardens, parks and reservoirs of water, breeding lotus flowers all over. Purport: perfection of human civilization is made possible by utilizing the gifts of nature in their own way. As we find herewith in the description of its opulence, Dwarka was surrounded by flower gardens and fruit orchards along with reservoir of water and growing lotuses. There is no mention of mills and factories supported by slaughterhouses, which are the necessary paraphernalia for modern metropolis. The propensity to utilize one's own gifts is still there, even in the heart of modern civilized men. The leaders of modern civilization select their own residential quarters in a place where there are such natural, beautiful gardens and reservoirs of water, but they leave the common man to reside in congested areas without parks and gardens. Herein, of course, we find a different description of the city of Dwarka. It is understood that the whole dham or residential quarter was surrounded by such gardens and parks with reservoirs of water where lotuses grew. It is understood that all the people depended on nature's gift of fruits and flowers without industrial enterprises promoting filthy huts and slums for residential quarters. Advancement of civilization is estimated not on the growth of mills and factories, Advancement of civilization is estimated not on the growth of mills and factories to deteriorate the finer instincts of human beings, but on developing the potent spiritual instincts of human beings and giving them a chance to go back to Godhead. Very important statement, please. Development of factories and mills are called ugra karma or pungent activities, and such activities deteriorate the finer sentiments of human being and society to form a dungeon of demons. To find here in the mention of pious trees which produce seasonal flowers and fruits. The impious trees are useless jungles only, and they can only be used to supply fuels. In the modern civilization, such impious trees are planted on the sides of roads. Human energy should be properly utilized in developing the finer senses for spiritual understanding, in which lies the solution of life. Fruits, flowers, beautiful gardens, parks and reservoirs of water with ducks and swans playing in the midst of lotus flowers and cows giving sufficient milk and butter are essential for developing the finer tissues of human body. As against this, the dungeons of mines, factories and workshops develop demoniac propensity in the working class. The vested interests flourish at the cost of the working class, and consequently there are severe clashes between them in so many ways. The description of Dwarka Dham is ideal of human civilization. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine.
vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha namo mahavadanyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namine gauratvishay namaha he krishna karuna sindhu dinabandhu jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Ihari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So I'm sure all of us have been very well nourished by this beautiful purport of Srila Prabhupada. I hope it was a long purport. It was one of the most poetic purports of Prabhupada that I have read. Very deep, very profound, very hard-hitting, and very, very clearly stating what is there in his heart. We must all understand, as it was very beautifully drawn to us in the last Sunday class by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, that this first canto purports that we are reading was written by Srila Prabhupada in the rooms of Sri Ra Damodar Mandir. And as Prabhupada mentioned very clearly, that everything that anyone wants, needs to know for spiritual advancement, I have put in this purports of the first canto of Bhagavatam. So even though in one sense this is just a verse which describes, it's like a beginning of description of how the devotees, how the Dwarka Vasis are receiving Krishna. Like so many times when we start a story, you know, of a particular person or a particular place, we spend some time in describing the place. Right? We say that this place is very beautiful, or this place was very opulent, or this place is very dirty and dingy. And so we just describe it, but that's not the crux, or that's not the purpose of the story. The purpose of the story is something else, right? So we do not spend so much time, but we create a scene around the main theme, isn't it? We create a scene. So what is happening here, my dear friends, is that Krishna is returning to Dwarka, and Sukadev Goswami is describing to Parikshit Maharaj that the happiness, the ecstasy of the Dwarkavasis. And in that, he mentions just a line that Dwarka is a city filled with opulence of all seasons. There are hermitages, orchards, flower garlands, parks, reservoirs of water, breeding lotus flowers all over. So it is they're creating a scene around it. What is the scene? Am I right? It's just creating a scene. It is not the crux. But Prabhupada writes a profound purport. And he takes the essence from this particular thing and how he establishes the comparative understanding of what is spiritual world and what is the modern day material world. And if you have noticed, you know, three times in the purport, please understand, if something is repeated once, you are stating it. Something is repeated twice, then you are stressing it. But something repeated thrice, then you are emphasizing it. I want this, you are stating. But I want this, I want this. But you are saying, I want this at any cost. Right? So three times. So Prabhupada is stating three times in different words the importance of nourishing our finer tissues, our finer sentiments to make spiritual progress. My humble request is, I will not be able to do justice to go through the purport again, but please go home and read this purport again and just derive this point that Prabhupada is stating, which apparently is not there in the verse, but is deriving it for us as audience to understand through this Bhakti Vedanta purport. He's saying that the importance of nourishing our finer tissues, advancement of civilization is estimated not on the growth of mills and factories, but to develop the potent spiritual instincts of human beings. Potent spiritual instincts, one place. Spiritual sentiments, the other place. And one more place, not able to find right now. Three places. So, we must understand that this is the description of the holy city of Dwarka. Now, we have beautiful description of the land of Vrindavan as well. When Krishna is in Vrindavan, the beautiful land of Braj is beautifully described. Because as Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Takan Krishna Leela Heri Prakriti Sundari Vistari Che Shobhavane, that by to assist Krishna in his Leela, Prakriti Sundari, Mother Nature, the beautiful Mother Nature, Prakriti Sundari, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Vistari Che Shobhavane, she is beautifying and further beautifying and further beautifying the forests of Vrindavan to assist the Leelas of Krishna. So that description of Vrindavan is in the village setting. Vrindavan is a forest, it's a village, isn't it? But here, my dear friends, we are reading the beauty of a city, something that we all can relate to because we are all from the city. We are all city people. We are all urban dwellers. We are not rural dwellers, right? We stay in urban, we stay in cities. So here is the beauty of a city. Many times we feel that the beauty is all in the villages, but the cities can also be beautiful. Dwarka was a city. Mathura was a city. And it is explained that the city, as explained by Sukadeva Goswami, that city was beautifully covered by orchards, by hermitages, orchards, flower garlands, parks and reservoirs of water with lotus flowers. Now, if you see in one sense, you know, of gardens and parks and water, they are not in direct connection to Krishna. I mean, what is, if you have a good park, if you just go to a good park, do you become Krishna conscious? Yes or no? Not necessarily. If you are fine-tuned, yes, you will see Krishna everywhere and you will become Krishna conscious everywhere. But a general park or an orchard, you go to so many orchards, you see mangoes and orchards, but you don't necessarily become Krishna conscious. But why is it that this description is mentioned in the Shastras, in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Dwarka was filled with this? Because please understand, the environment that we are all staying very strongly affects our consciousness. This is a very important point that we want to drive into this discussion. Our consciousness, we all try to be Krishna conscious. Our consciousness, our mindset is extremely fine-tuned and extremely sensitive, very, very sensitive to the environment that we stay, to the thoughts that we have, to the food that we eat, to the dress that we wear. Everything affects our consciousness. Are you getting my point? Everything. How somebody looks at you affects your consciousness. What you wear affects your consciousness. We're talking about dressing. And there is an organization. I know people in that organization. They do a lot of research on our daily routine And how does it affect our sattvic living? Because please understand, if we want to be Krishna conscious, if we want to come to the Suddha Sattva platform, which is pure goodness, which is Krishna consciousness, you have to come through the level of Sattva Guna. You have to be sattvic. And through sattva, can you go further? Right? Of course, you could use rajas and tamas in Krishna's service. But if you need to be Krishna conscious, you cannot just be constantly in the mode of passion or mode of ignorance. You need to give to the sattva guna. So that's why when we come to the places like the temple, what happens? Automatically, you come to the sattva guna, right? You feel relaxed, peaceful. But if you go to a dance bar, what happens? So just music, it is just a music. But just that music, it affects you, yes or no? If you just hear a nice kartal, softly playing, then your conscience is different. But if you hear drums and all these things, even though it is just music, I mean, it is after all everything is music, but it affects your consciousness, my dear friends. Please understand, we are so vulnerable. We are so very much affected by every single thing that we do, that we wear, that we see, that we eat. Everything affects. So that is why for people who are in the business of consciousness, what is our business as devotees? We are in the business of consciousness, right? We all are trying to really make ourselves Krishna conscious. That's what Prabhupada called this society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So it is a consciousness which drives our life and not necessarily the activities. Please understand this. Prabhupada, in spite of the fact that we are involved 24 hours, if not 24, at least 12 hours of our day in activities, we are doing so many activities. We are doing kirtan, we are doing book distribution, we earn money for living and giving in charity. So many activities everybody is doing, even devotional activities. But the fact is, Prabhupada still didn't call this society the International Society for Krishna Activities. He still called it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So this society is a consciousness-based society. It is not, I repeat, it is not an activity-based society. Many a times we make our Krishna consciousness very activity based. But Krishna is not going to see the activities. Krishna is not bothered about your activity. He is not bothered about what you do. He is not bothered about what tune of Hare Krishna Mahamantra you sing and what various musical instruments are accompanying you. No doubt we should offer the best in the kirtan. But Krishna is not attached to that. If your mood is to show off in kirtan, Krishna doesn't care less about your beautiful melodious kirtan. Who cares? What can you sing melodiously compared to the melodious singing of the Gandharvas in the higher planets? Or for that matter, the singers in the spiritual world. What Krishna cares about your singing? But Krishna cares about your consciousness, my dear friends. Right? So it's a consciousness-based society. So we are all in the business of consciousness. So for people who are not in the business of consciousness, and when I say business, we are not talking about business in the terms of financial transactions. We're talking about business means our purpose, our activities is about consciousness. But for people who are not in those, they care less about their consciousness. They don't even care what they don't even know what is consciousness. In fact, majority of people in the society, they don't even bother or they don't even know the word consciousness. Of course, nowadays this word mindful is becoming very, very popular. Be mindful. But this mindful is nothing but consciousness, my dear friends. Be conscious, be aware. Yes, this is, I mean, it's getting sort of famous, this word mindful and all this. But for us who are practitioners of Krishna consciousness, and I assume that all of us sitting here are in some or the other practices of the bhakti cult. We're practicing bhakti. For us practitioners, it is very important that what affects my consciousness, I must do that. And what is going to be, in an adverse way affecting my consciousness, I must avoid that. So I was talking about this organization. They do a lot of research. And there's a lot of research that I was discussing with somebody. But one important, we'll take one aspect of it. How dressing affects our consciousness. Simple thing like dressing. And I tell you, my dear friends, I was amazed that the science of why we wear dhotis and saris was so very clearly. This organization does research through proper scientific, scales. Those who are research, our Rishabhanu Prabhu is a research scholar here in chemistry. He will understand this, and those who are in research. The research is not just something you do. There's a proper scales, and you have to have proper protocols. You have to have proper groups of people who are for and against, and through that you do detailed research, and then you find a conclusion. It is not that I'm doing a research and you find something. Nobody will accept it. No journal will accept your research unless and until it is properly proved through proper scientific method. So this organization, and they do a research, and many researches that they have done. For example, why should ladies put bindi here? We're not going to those many details. There's one aspect I'm going to do is dress. So it is explained that they did through different scales. I'm not going to go into details. But the type of cloth that you wear affects your consciousness. It creates positive vibrations or negative vibrations. And please understand, I can share with you for those who want. This is proven facts. It is not just sentiments. Oh, that cotton is very good, you know, because it is natural. This is proven versus terylene or propylene or nylon that we wear. It is a proven scientific fact that when you wear artificial fabrics, it develops negative energy. And when you wear positive cloth like cotton or silk, it creates positive. And that is why for puja, it is recommended that we wear cotton or silk. It is not just sentiment that our sages said, oh, we should wear cotton. But there is proper scientific reason in everything that we do. Now, you know, one point I definitely want to address is, you know, it says that the lesser the stitches, the more the positive energy. They found that when you wear stitch clothes, it is more negative energy generating than you wear lesser the stitch. So what is dhoti? No stitch, just a knot, right? Just a knot. And what is a sari? No stitch. Please understand, I am not in any way propagating one cloth or the other cloth. I'm not here. We have to be very practical. So please, I'm not here propagating a particular way of living, dressing another. But I'm just stating the fact. It's for all of us to decide. And it is explained that one of the things that is very heavily negative energy attracting is when you have holes in your clothes. You'll be surprised. Please understand, the material energy is all programmed to destroy your consciousness and bring it down to the lowest modes. That's material energy. And what is spiritual energy? Spiritual energy is all about raising your consciousness higher. So the material energy is constantly working, and the agents of material energy are constantly working to bring your consciousness down. And this whole trend, again, no offenses to anybody sitting here, but this whole trend based on this research of wearing torn clothes, and it's a fashion, shockingly, but it's a fashion. But what does it do? Little do we know, you feel I'm doing a fashion. I'm wearing torn jeans and... But little do we know, it attracts daridrata. It attracts poverty. Now, if you knew this, would you do it? It's a proven fact. It attracts daridrata. It attracts negativity in your life. Similarly, you know, unwashed clothes attracts negativity. And there's a whole section of clothes called jeans. And the reason we wear those jeans is because you don't have to wash them. Right? Material propaganda is I was amazed at how everything, even the small thing, the material energy uses systematically to slowly but surely bring our consciousness down. How much effort, my dear friends, it takes to bring our consciousness up, right? We are struggling. We anyway in an environment which does not support practice of Krishna consciousness, right? It is the environment doesn't support us, but the default setting of this environment, we are talking about default settings in computers, right? Default setting of this environment is not supporting Krishna consciousness. And still, in spite of that, we are swimming upstream in one sense, struggling to somehow maintain our consciousness. But little do we know that small things can positively benefit us or negatively affect our consciousness. And we are sort of unaware. So, unwashed clothes, there was meter readings. I have meter graphs which shows the difference between washed clothes and the negative energy derived from unwashed clothes. Clean washed clothes are very positive energy creating. Now, why are we talking all this? Small things. Because as we said, we are in the business of consciousness. We need to do everything, small or big, which will support to bring our consciousness to the higher understanding and not the lower understanding. Right? This is just one example that we're talking about. And that is why when we talk about a place which is sattvic and Prabhupada, why is Prabhupada suddenly talking in the second sentence of the purport? It is not about mills, factories, and slaughterhouses. Why is Prabhupada saying, there is no mention of such things, but Prabhupada is saying very clearly, the spiritual world is not about mills, not about factories, and not about slaughterhouses. Because where we stay, it affects our consciousness. The environment in which we stay. The factories, Prabhupada says, the Ugra Karma, and the English translation he uses, very interesting word, very poetic. Pungent activities. I mean, you cannot get a more onomatopoeical word than that, right? When you say pungent, it comes in our pungent. Oh, yuck, yuck. It gives a yuck feeling, right? Prabhupada uses a perfect word. Pungent activities. Ugra karma. Then when people are engaged in, not only when you eat pungent food, right? Heavily pungent food, garlic laden food is pungent, heavy. Right? Prabhupada talking about pungent activities, which is not conducive for Krishna consciousness. It is not favorable for Krishna consciousness. So that is why we must understand that material consciousness is synonymous to dearth, filth, stench, and putridity. What is, when you step out of this beautiful temple, it is beautiful temple, right? It's an oasis. But the moment you step out of this place, what do you see all around? A heap of garbage? Again, I salute the BMC. They are working hard. But it is not the BMC or a particular government organization that's to be blamed. It is the consciousness of the people. They love, even if most of the time they like to just stay in a dirty environment. Because, you know, the consciousness is dirty, the environment is dirty. The consciousness is cluttered, you love to be in a cluttered environment. You can, there's a whole science, you can judge a person's consciousness by his table on what he works. Very simple. If you see a table well organized, you can say that this guy is having a clear consciousness. You see a cluttered table or cluttered cupboard. Many times one of my, one of the senior devotees that I knew, you know, sometimes in a friendly way, many times we have guests who come to our house, right? So when we have guests, we make our house very clean before he comes or she comes or before they come, right? Everything is, we put in the place. But usually what we do, we take things and we dump in the cupboard. Dikhna nahi mangta hai. Right? I don't know, many times we do this, right? We just take things. So, So this particular sannyasi is a wonderful, I mean, he's a senior sannyasi of our society, and you know, he goes to people's houses. So in his disciples' houses, so many times, you know, he goes and he sees everything with spick and span, but he opens the cupboard. Boom! And not to intrude, please understand, this is not to intrude in anything. This just to show our consciousness that we love to show what is not. And we will love to hide what is reality. Right? We show what is not. This is not the reality of our house, but the reality is inside the cupboard, but we don't want to show that. Yeah. This is the thing. So cluttered and cluttered mind, a cluttered understanding gives rise to cluttered living. An impure mind gives rise to impure living. But a sattvic mindset gives rise to sattvic living. And vice versa. A sattvic environment assists you in sattvic thinking. Please understand how much this environment is important. Why is it many times the same people who in a particular country, they don't think twice before they throw the garbage outside their car? Banana, you peel, you throw it outside the car. Why is it that the same people, when they go to some other place, they become very conscious of where they put the peel and where they put the garbage? The same people, maybe because of the fine that is there in the other countries. But it is not only that. It is thus that when something is clean, you want to keep it clean. But something is dirty, you don't mind making it more dirty. Ganda hi hai na, chodo. Who cares? So material consciousness, my dear friends, is synonymous. When you talk of material world, material energy, it's all about, isn't it? What is the major thing that it's all about? Smell, stench, dirt, filth, putridity, right? Isn't not that what majority of the time we see around? But spiritual consciousness or sattvic consciousness is all about cleanliness, orderliness, and fragrance. Yes? So many times we want to chant good rounds. What do? One of the things that we do is we light a agarbatti or some fragrance. Why? Why do we do this? How has that to do with the holy name? But is it beautifully assists when you have a beautiful fragrance? Because as I said, please always keep in mind that whatever we do, whatever we eat, is going to affect our consciousness. We have to be very, very super sensitive to everything that goes inside us. Right? So many times in the last 2 years, all of us have been so sensitive in how we breathe, where we breathe. Right? If somebody sneezes, because that sneeze, something will happen. So how sensitive? Because we became suddenly very sensitive because we knew this virus is going to come from anywhere. So we were very conscious. A moment we talk, the moment we eat something, we eat and put the mask again, put the mask again. Why? Because we are sensitive, anything. So we have to be very sensitive, my dear friends, of whatever enters into our system. But so many times we just don't care. We eat any damn food that comes our way. You know, we see anything that comes our way. We stay in any place that comes our way. It affects your consciousness. You know, there was one story that I don't remember the exact connection, but you know, a person just had a gun. He was a very non-violent person, but he was carrying a gun from one place to the other place. But just because he was carrying the gun, the vibrations of a gun, obviously everything has vibrations, right? Every aspect is vibrations. The vibration of the gun is, pick me up, pick me up, pick me up. So he actually used the gun. He didn't know it, but he used the gun because everything that you do affects your consciousness. The point I'm trying to drive is, it affects your consciousness. So that is why Prabhupada is so very clearly stating here, that whatever is assisting us into developing our finer sentiments, our finer emotions, our finer consciousness should be done. And whatever is not affected, is going to be having a deteriorating effect, should be completely avoided. So what we are in one sense talking about, my dear friends, is the what we can call in the modern environmental sense, the green consciousness. And we're talking about green, right? Everything should be green, the green consciousness. Just the other day, we were just hearing the beautiful presentation. There was a conference at the Govardhan Eco Village on green living. And there was a presentation done by a very great scholar of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Srivatsa Goswami. Beautiful present, and one of the most classical presentations that we have heard. And he was talking about the same concept of green. Of course, he spoke many things. But he mentioned a very beautiful point, which I'm sure will touch your heart. He said that, how do we develop this? And what is green consciousness? It is just being environment friendly, right? What is green consciousness? To be very conscious of the environment. But you cannot just be materially conscious of the environment till the time you have a strong spiritual basis to understanding why we do what we do. So he said that, how is the green color obtained? It's a combination of which two colors? Anybody? Yeah, sorry? Yellow and blue. The yellow and blue combination gives green. And Krishna is what color? And Radharani is what color? So when you have the Radha Krishna consciousness, when Radha Krishna combine, the blue and yellow combine, you naturally have the green consciousness. And that's the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have a beautiful painting here, right? Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So when you hear the sensitive, subtle behaviors of the great acharyas, that helps us in developing that fine consciousness, the fine emotions that we are trying to develop to make progress in Krishna consciousness. And it is beautifully assisted by the environment that we all are trying to stay around. So making our house a favorable environment, keeping it clean. Why is this statement we have been learning from in moral science from the first standard? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Moral science class, first standard. Right? Why is it stated like this? Is it just something that we need to know only in the moral science class for first standard? It is a profound statement, my dear friends. And the more we spend time on this earth, we realize how profound this statement is. You cannot be godly if you are not clean. Cleanliness of the heart and cleanliness of the environment. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That means it is may not be as important as godliness, because godliness is important, but it is next to it. You cannot be godly without being clean. Our acharyas believe this. That's why Prabhupada said it. Our temples should be spotlessly clean. You know, he didn't have this. What is it called? He didn't have this. A syndrome where we keep on washing things. What is it called? OCD. Huh? What is it called? Full form? Obsessive and compulsive disorder. Right. There's some people have this obsessive and compulsive disorder. Every 2 minutes they wash their hands. Everything they touch, they wash their hands. And of course, all of us had OCDs, right, in the last 2 years. We touch something, alcohol. When we took this, sanitizer. We said, luckily, hopefully, we don't have any risk now. Hopefully. We pray. So nice to see the temple hall filled with devotees. But it is not that Prabhupada's had this OCD that we have to speak clean. That means anything that does comes, clean it. He didn't have this OCD of cleanliness. He just knew it. that you cannot have the temple unclean and worship the Lord. Because, you know, the Lord is very interesting. Krishna is a very interesting God. Krishna says that, I don't see what you give, but I see what you hold back. You understand? That's Krishna's personality. Many times, you know, we give somebody something, 1,000 rupees. Oh, thank you. So nice. You know, because 1,000 rupees is a good money. But Krishna is not the person who who really, it doesn't become happy up front. Is it piche kitna hai? Oh, bata mere ko. What is behind? What you have, you know, what you have kept is, that's what God is all about. That's what Krishna is all about. So Krishna is not seeing how clean you keep the place that he sees, the temple hall. But Krishna is attached to seeing how is your urinal in your temples. You know, Radhana Swami Maharaj, I you know, whenever he comes to the Bhaktivedanta hospital, you know, and hospital, you know, he has said n number of times, hospitals should be sparkling clean. And hospitals need to be clean. And, you know, he has been strongly stressing it. So when he, after a long drive from the temple to Mira Road, you know, so he obviously has to use the restroom. So obviously the authorities, the management, they say, please use the first floor, you know, a restroom which is meant for managers. Maharaj said, no, I want to go to the common men's washroom. And he will always go to the place which is used by everybody. Because it is there you can find out the level of cleanliness which is there. So the point we are trying to drive, my dear friends, is that it is not that everything should be sparkling clean. And you will wonder, yaar, if I sparkling clean, toh ghar se bahar hi nahi niklunga main. I mean, I will not come out of my house if I keep on, if I want sparkling clean. How will I live? What will I do? But it is not like that. If you have your consciousness, which is evolved, then naturally, all your activities are in sync, are in tune with whatever is supporting to be spiritual consciousness. It is very easy. It is difficult because it is not part of our system. We have to take extra effort to be clean because it is not yet ingrained in our system. So it takes extra energy and time. But if the moment you develop your consciousness further and further, more evolved, subtle consciousness, automatically this will be, you know, very, very easy. So we are talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. That when you hear those pastimes of this personality, so we have to keep our environment clean externally. And most important is to nourish or to bathe our consciousness with beautiful, inspiring pastimes of the Lord, which purify our consciousness. The right word is to bathe. What do we do when we bathe? From head to toe, we clean ourselves. Similarly, we have to bathe our consciousness by Krishna Katha. Machita Madagada Prana Bodhyantascha Parasparam Kathyantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanticha Ramanticha. He said that when devotees meet, what do they talk? Kathyant Parasparam, I mean Machita Madagada Prana Bodhyantascha Parasparam. Bodh Karna. To talk about me, Krishna says. They talk about me with each other. Bodhyantascha parasparam kathyantascha mam nityam. They are always doing this and they experience tushyanticha ramanticha. What a brilliant verse this is. This is the verse which is like a litmus test of any association. At the end of the association, if you come out tushyanticha satisfied and ramanticha blissful, then you have been Krishna conscious in that sangha. But if you come out disturbed, if you come out perturbed, if you come out confused, that's something is wrong. Because if you do bodhyantasa parasparam about Krishna, then the result is tushyanticha ramanticha. And that's what we are all looking for, isn't it? We are all looking for satisfaction and bliss in our life. So today I would like to just share a beautiful personality who exhibited such high level of sensitive behavior. Because what happens is when you hear such pastimes again and again, there's a beautiful story that I heard many years back. It is a story about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This story will actually prove us why we need to hear a particular pastime again and again and again. Many times we say, I know this pastime, what's so big deal about it? I've been hearing it, because after you spend 1 or 2 years in Krishna consciousness, you practically know all the pastimes, because we heard them. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple was having extreme, diarrhea. He couldn't retain anything. Whatever he ate, even water, was causing diarrhea. And it went on for many, many weeks. There was no cure to it. So because of that, he became extremely weak. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I said, you should take every day 100 grams of ghee. Ghee. I mean, ghee is the last thing anybody who has diarrhea should take, because it is anyway heavy to digest. And that will not just small teaspoonful of ghee. It is just 100 grams. You should drink it. But because Gurudev has said, so he followed. And obviously, it was all drained out. But strangely, surprisingly, after a week or 10 days, he started getting some strength. He could do some activity, and he said, how? And then it was explained that ghee by nature is very sticky. So even the majority of it is thrown out, something remains, and it is so paustic, so nutritious, that even the small one, if it sticks to your intestines or sticks to your walls of your stomach, it starts giving you some energy. So similarly, my dear friends, this Krishna Katha, Gaur Katha, Ram Katha, is so paustic, is so nutritious. But obviously when you hear it, moment you go out, you eat khichdi, and you come step out of temple, half the thing is gone. Right? But because many times, we tell the speaker, what a beautiful class. I remember I one of the senior speakers, I told Maharaj, beautiful class, Maharaj. Very nice class. I said, what did I say? And I forgot. I said, I was cornered, because you just, the emotion is there of a good class, but you don't remember the details, right? Because that's how our consciousness is very, very volatile. Just boom, it just goes. But you keep on hearing it. What happens? It sticks to you. Sticks to you. And after years, you just start, and when you need it, that particular will help you to really, when you need, where there's a particular attack of Maya or there's a particular decision to be made, that thing that you heard will come to your rescue, will come to your help. Right? So similarly, when you hear the pastimes of Haridas Thakur's humility, if you just say, be humble, okay, be humble, I'll try to be humble. But when you hear a pastime of somebody's humility, the subconscious mind, on the basis of neuroscience has analyzed it, that you want to tell somebody to do it, don't just tell him you be humble, be tolerant. That person will not take it. But you tell him an anecdote of humility, it gets more easily absorbed. That's the way our consciousness, our neuroscience works. It easily absorbs this. So when you hear a pastime of Haridas Thakur's humility, that he's been beaten in 22 marketplaces and he's still praying for the executioners, please forgive them. And you hear it again and again and again, then that aspect of humility or that aspect of forgiveness slowly comes into our consciousness. You understand this? Right? So that is why we keep on hearing this pastime. And that's why we are going to be narrating a beautiful pastime, a very simple, sweet pastime of a very, very special personality, whom I found I was just analyzing, who is this person who I can speak about, who is very, very sensitive and fine-tuned in his behavior? All of them are, no doubt. But one such personality is Shripad Madhavendra Puri. Shripad Madhavendra Puri was such an evolved gentleman. And Prabhupada said, was asked, how do we know your devotees? How do you know that these are the Hare Krishna devotees? You know, we may expect Prabhupada to say, you know, Hare Krishna devotees, that means they will wear a dhoti and a kurta and a tilak and a sari. And they will be clean shaved, no mustache. I mean, we think he may say that because this is typically the signs of a Hare Krishna devotee, a shikha, a long shikha, a kanti mala. Prabhupada didn't say any of these things. What did he say? That person is a thorough gentleman. A Hare Krishna devotee is a thorough gentleman and gentlewoman, of course. So it is nothing to do with externals. It is just, when you say a gentleman, what do you mean gentleman? Gentleman is all about behavior. How a person behaves is going to signify your devotional growth. Right? So Madhavendra Puri, he was a Nitya Siddha Mahabhagavat devotee of the Lord. So he was traveling, and he would usually travel alone. First lesson from him. He would not usually travel with people. Why? Because he was constantly fearful that if I travel with people, I might engage in prajalpa. And prajalpa is detrimental for my Krishna consciousness. Please note, many times we practitioners are very sort of conscious about things like lust and greed, and we should be conscious about them also. We need to be avoiding them. But we don't really much bother about prajalpa, and we don't realize but how much prajalpa we do. Unlimited. And the sad part is, you know, because we don't talk about the dangers of prajalpa, what is the first sign? Prajalpa niyamagraha. Prabhupada Goswami says, prajalpa is a point which is one of the six ways to vinashyati, to destroy your Krishna consciousness. Vinashyati, vinash kar deti aapki bhakti ko. The sixth thing, one of the things is prajalpa. Honestly, don't raise your hands, but ask yourself, am I very conscious of this aspect of prajalpa at this present moment? Ask yourself. And if you're not, you need to be conscious of it. What you talk. Because as I said, what goes inside, what goes outside, we have to be very conscious. So Madhavendra Puri was so conscious. This evolved devotees are so conscious in even the small, minute details of practice of Krishna consciousness. This is something which I really want to share and want to learn myself about, this fine-tuning your inner emotions, inner sentiments that Prabhupada talks about. So Madhavendra Puri would not go with people. He would just travel alone. So he was sitting, he was at this holy place of, which of course later on became known as Govindakund. But when he was there at that time, there was no kund there. And we'll explain why. So he was sitting under a tree. And you know, another very sensitive behavior is that he would not do any madhukar. He would not do any begging of food. Whatever came, he had more like a ajagar vritti. That whatever came on his account, he would honor it. Of course, we are not here to really imitate him in any way. We don't need to imitate him. We just need to get inspired. Anukaran karna nahi hai, anusaran karna hai. We don't have to really imitate that, but we have to follow in his footsteps. So he was just so depend upon the Lord's, whatever he provides me. So then when he was sitting, he was doing his bhajan, he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He was chanting his round so deeply, so concentratedly. And you know, Krishna is everywhere. And Krishna is always wanting to see how he can serve his devotees. Sadhunam Hridayam Mayam, Sadhunam Hridayam Tvaham. That devotees are always in my heart, and I am always devotee's heart. The devotees know no one but me, and I know no one but my devotee. What a beautiful statement in the Amrish Maharaj's pastime. One of the most brilliant, you know, encouraging statements for all of us. That Krishna does not know anyone but his devotees. If I become his devotee, can you imagine, Krishna will only know me. Isn't it a wonderful opulence to have Krishna knowing you? You may say, okay, the Prime Minister knows me. You become very proud, right? The Prime Minister knows me by my name. Or maybe this Prime Minister is still very big. But this particular CEO, he knows me by my name. You feel now, you know, you become, you proudly announce it. Usko mera naam bol, usko pata hai. Samajh jayega. So you say, yeah, just say my name. It. But can you imagine Krishna recognizing you, and he says, I know no one but my devotee. That means I know no one but Vrishabhanu Prabhu, Krishna says. Such a glorious devotee Vrishabhanu Prabhu is. This is as a fact, definitely true for himself. That Krishna knows no one but me. Krishna knows you by his name. That's what Krishna says. I know no one but my devotee, and devotee knows no one but me. Isn't it worth a platform that we all need to work hard right now? Isn't it the impetus for all of us to work hard, chant our round, struggle with our consciousness, struggle with our senses, but it is still worth it, because at the end of the day, what do we get? Krishna knows me. He said, I know Sridhama Das. I know Krishna Kumar Das. It's worth it. So Madhavendra Puri, Krishna knew him. He said he was not going to do anything. So Krishna came in a form like a village boy jumping and dancing, and he gave him a beautiful pot of milk. He said, Baba, please, I see you are not taking any food. Please take this, this milk. I said, but what about the pot? I said, I'll come and take it. Don't worry. And he ran away. And the Madhavendra Puri drank this milk. I'm sure it was an A2 milk. But let's not bring it down to a material level. This milk was divine. It was pure divine substance given by Krishna. When he drank this milk, oh my God. He would say, who is this person and what sort of milk is this? And he was in ecstasy. And in his ecstasy, it drifted into slumber, into sleep. And in his slumber, he was revealed that it was Krishna himself. So he woke up, regretting, oh my goodness, what? I didn't recognize Krishna. How unfortunate I am. But anyway, as this story progresses further, and Krishna came in his dream again, he said, you know what? I have been buried below this land right here for last so many, decades. Please remove me. I am feeling very hot. And by the way, it was exactly this month. It was, the month that we just celebrated, Chandan Yatra. So please remove me and bathe me. So then bathe me by the waters of Govindakund. So Madhavendra Puri was regretting that I didn't recognize Krishna. But again, a very sensitive behavior. That what Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, that don't try to see Krishna. Most of the people who are practitioners of Krishna consciousness, we all want to see Krishna. Aur ek bar Bhagwan dik jaye. But Gaudiya Vaishnavism is not, we are not here to see Krishna. See the beautiful thought that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says. Don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve him in such a way that he wants to see you. And that was the whole story about the Pundarik in Pandharpur. The Lord was waiting to see him, but Pundarik said, no, I'm serving my parents. Wait. And Krishna wanted to see him. That's the glory of a devotee. So Madhavendra Puri didn't recognize the Lord, but he said, but Lord has given me service. Service is more important than seeing the Lord. I mean, of course, if we... because I think there's many pastimes of Ramanujacharya. He said the devotee is so busy serving the Lord, he has no time to see him. Please understand the mood that we're talking about. Please understand. It's not that we are against seeing the Lord. But the devotee is so busy, so satisfied, so thoroughly enlivened, just serving the Lord. He doesn't need to see Him because he experiences the Lord in His service. So Madhavan Puri said, the service which has given the bhakti. Bhakti means seva, my dear friends. Bhakti is translated as seva. Seva is important. We are all sevaholics, we need to be. We need to be sevaholics. I remember once, one of the senior sannyasis, Sachinand Swami, I was talking to him. We were together in Europe, together giving a seminar. I said, our mood should be that we are all trying to be sevaholics. We are addicted to seva. Yeah. So that's our purpose. We want to be holics, but sevaholics. So anyway, Madhavan Puri was doing the seva. And then he got the bridge bas. It's a long story, cutting it short. He got the bridge bas. He got the the deities from the ground established on the top of Shigiriraj, and performed long, beautiful abhishek from the cool ambrosial waters of Govindakund. Water. And again, the Lord came in a dream. And Madhavan Puri was told by the Lord that I'm still feeling very hot. Please, you need to put some chandan. And when you put chandan lep, then I'll feel cold. You know, chandan was not just you go to a, you know, it was available only in the Malaya Hills. That is, it's sometimes called as Malaysia. And it was available in Jagannath Puri through Malaysia. So there's Malayan chandan. So he had to travel from Vrindavan to Malayan Hills. But the point I'm going to try is, on the way he came to this very special place called Remuna. Beautiful place. It is a beautiful deity of Gopinath there. And there, the deity, Madhavan Puri was very, very keen to know the recipe of a very special offering that was getting made there. It was called Amrita Keli. It was a special sweet rice made in a particular combination, which was offered to the deity, and it was pure nectar. Amrita Keli means pure nectar. So when the pujari got 12 pots of Amrita Keli and offered to Gopinath, Madhavan Puri was outside and he was thinking. See, this is again a very, very amazing quality of a devotee, that when he sees a particular seva done, he wants to learn that seva and offer it to his deities. Because our Aradhya Bhagwan is, say, Radha Gopinath or Radha Ras Bihari or Radha Giridhari, wherever we are doing our Prabhudatta Kshetra, our place that we are doing our service, that presiding deity becomes our Aradhya Bhagwan. And we want to offer the best. In our case, it's Sri Radha Gopinath, Lalita Vishaka, Gaur Nithai and Sri Gopalji. So wherever we see something good, we want to offer it to them. So Madhavan Puri saw this Amrita Keli and he got a thought, that if I know the recipe of this Amrita Keli, I can make it for my deity Gopal in Vrindavan. And then say, oh my goodness, again, sensitive behavior, my dear friends. I said, how can I think of tasting this Amrita Keli while it was being offered? So he felt disgusted with himself. He left. So this is again a story of how much the Lord loves His devotees. The Lord has nothing else to love, right? He has only His devotees to love. So Lord does wholesale love for His devotees. So Lord realized that, well, He wants to taste sweet rice. I will arrange for it. Mehuna. So then the pujari, removed the pots. It was night time, so he removed 11 pots instead of 12. He didn't realize, because one pot was stolen by Gopinath. He put it behind his dhoti. The deity moved. He bent down, took the pot and put it behind his dhoti. And the pujari locked the door and went to his room. And he went to sleep. And Madhavan Puri was sitting in a secluded marketplace, chanting his rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He was chanting his rounds very intensely. And the deity gave him a dream. This is a story full of dreams. He came in a dream of the pujari. Hey pujari, get up. You didn't realize You put 12 pots, but you took only 11. You didn't count properly. I've hidden one pot behind my dhoti. That is for one of my devotees, Bhadendra Puri, who is there in Remuna right now. Go and give it to him. And the pujari got up, took his bath, opened the door, and lo and behold, he could see the pot there. And he was shocked. I said, what sort of devotee is this? He came running. Obviously, he didn't know how this Madhavendra Puri looked. So he was shouting, Madhavendra Puri, where are you? Whoever you are, please come. The Lord has stolen sweet rice for you. And Madhavendra Puri came in front. He said, I am Madhavendra Puri. What is it? And gave the pot. And of course, Madhavendra Puri knew this was special mercy. Now, what do when we get special mercy? We put it on Instagram. We want to brag about it everywhere. You know, I was next to this celebrity. I ate this food. I mean, it's really getting crazier and crazier what all people put it in Instagram. Again, nothing against anybody putting it. Please continue if you want to do light. If you are happy, do it. But I'm just saying that we all want to brag about it. But Madhavendra Puri, he actually got the real mercy of the Lord. He didn't put it in the Gaudiya Times. What did he do? He said, oh, I've got this mercy now. I must leave this place. Again, a very sensitive. Shri Shri Radha, Gopinath, Lalita, Vishakha, Sakhi Vrindaki. I must leave this place. Because he said, this fame is like Sukravishtha. It is the dung of a boar. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's terminology. Very graphic. Huh? A dung of a boar. You know. So of course, why a boar? Because pig is still a higher category of a... But boar is the most lowest category, Shudra class of pigs. A Shudra amongst pigs is called a boar. And his dung is the most lowest. So this prestige that comes because of our devotional service, my dear friends, it is like dung of a boar. And that's why Bhadrata Puri again showed a very sensitive behavior that I need to be... The mood that Krishna loves is Dainya Bhav. Dainya Bhav. There was a particular story I was hearing in that one speaker said, I have not seen it, but I guess that's the way it happens, that monkeys, they many times catch snakes to eat. You know, monkeys, they catch snakes. And you know, when they catch the snake, the monkey looks whether the snake is still, still alive. And monkey's grip is powerful. The snake cannot do anything about it. But if the snake feels that I am khunkhar, if I have that poo, it just tries to bite the monkey. The monkey, you know, rubs the face of the snake on the tree and just destroys him. And again, it sees. And if again he tries, just rubs it again. So this speaker was saying, don't spoil your face. This is the way monkeys behave, what to do. But the speaker was saying, this is how Maya deals with us. If you think you are caught in the clutches of Maya, and you say, I'm still powerful, you try to show your power. It was a Hindi lecture, so he said, usko ragadta hai, ragadta hai. You know, that word ragadta is very, there's no English word for that. Some things are good in Hindi. So, vanar usko ragadta hai. Similarly, Maya, apne ko ragadti hai. Right? And again, see that you, but the dainya bhav, that I'm surrendered, then you don't have to go through this problem. And the snake acts dainya, some smart snakes, they add the dainya, they don't do anything. The monkey becomes less aware and the snake escapes. You escape it. Right? So this dainya bhav is very, very important. So Madhavendra Puri showed that, you know, if people will know that the Lord has stolen sweet rice for me and they'll all start giggling, jai, jai, jai. So he left the place. So anyway, this shows the sensitive behavior amongst devotees. And when you bathe your consciousness with these beautiful stories And at the same time, you are very conscious of your environment. As I said, everything that you do, all your activities, all the things that you think, all the food that you eat, if you are very conscious of it. And that's why Krishna spent the whole one chapter of Gita in dividing Sattva, Raja and Tama. Right? The whole chapter is talking about this is in Sattva Guna, this is Raja Guna, this is Tama Guna. Why is Krishna telling you this? That this food is in Sattva Guna, this food is in Raja Guna, this food is in Tama Guna. This, why? Because you need to know it, because you need to come to the sattva. You need to do activity in sattva to really go beyond. So if you are conscious of these activities, conscious of the food that you eat, conscious of the way you talk, conscious of the way you dress, and everything else, and at the same time, bathing your consciousness with Krishna Katha. Last but not the least, you know, we could still be staying in a very sattvic place, a very natural place, but have a very, very debaucherous consciousness. That also is possible. No point. And I would like to end what Prabhupada really taught us. That wherever you are, we are not against cities, we are not against, we are not for villages. But wherever you are, you create an oasis around you. So that people and you yourself can find nourishment. So all the temples of Srila Prabhupada, and especially I would like to draw your attention, for those who have been, they will really understand it. The temple in London, in the proper central London, a temple called Soho Street. For those who have been there, would understand what I am trying to just share with you all. Soho Street is right at, Soho Street temple is Radha, Sri Sri Radha Landanishwar. The first Radha Krishna deity established in ISKCON is Radha Landanishwar. Prabhupada established in Soho Street. And next to Soho Street is the Soho Square. And all sorts of abominable activities happen there. It is a crazy, crazy, crazy place. Shocking. When I first went there, I had to close my eyes. I said, my goodness, what sort of place is this? Terrible. It is a hardcore Ugra Karma place. Huge shops bombarding you with energy to buy and buy. It's Oxford Street. Oxford Street is one of the premium streets in central London. And this offshoot of Oxford Street is Soho Street. That's where our temple is. And next to it, next to the temple is a gay club. And all sorts of crazy things are around the temple. And what Prabhupada is talking about that we should not be in, that's what exists everywhere there. That garden is not a garden. Usually we go to garden to chant Hare Krishna. You cannot chant in Soho Square. Because, you know, all the principles, the four principles are blatantly broken every second there. Crazy place. Such heavy vibrations. The moment you step in the temple, it's mesmerizing. Is devotional. Is absolutely Vrindavan. How many of you have been there? Oh, you've been there, right? So it's just magic. So of course you don't have to go to London to experience this. You right in Bombay itself, right? You come out, because luckily we are staying in a very that way sane neighborhood here in Bombay in Chapati. But otherwise some neighborhoods, crazy place. So what we are trying to develop, my dear friends, is through our consciousness, through our living, we create an oasis where people can find. What is an oasis amongst a desert? It's a desert. It is burning hot. But what is an oasis? Oasis is a spot which is green, which is water, and you can find, the travelers can relax there and find some nourishment and some peace there, right? That's oasis. Similarly, my dear friends, these temples where Sri Sri Radha Krishna worshipped, this is beyond sattva. It is Sudha Sattva. It is pure goodness. So when you come here and bathe our consciousness in this environment, and then you take this mood to wherever we go and create oasis in wherever we are. So you can imagine, if there are thousands upon thousand devotees in Mumbai, then there are thousands upon thousand oases where people can find refuge. And that's exactly what Prabhupada is saying. It is not to say that we hate the cities, we need to leave the cities and go to the villages. If that is what you feel you can best serve, you may do that. But how many of us can do that? But we don't need to do that. What we need to do is just be aware about the consciousness that we need to be in. Just to be aware about how to create an environment which is conducive for our Krishna consciousness, not only by coming to a temple, but wherever we are, to do everything, to wear everything. I am saying wear because I did use the example of dressing. So not to wear things which are going to be creating negative energy, not to think anything, not to eat anything, and not to beat people. Asasanga tyaga yai Vaishnava achar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, who is a devotee? He didn't say a devotee is this. He said asasanga tyaga, a person who does not associate with a non-devotees. He is a devotee. Asasanga tyaga yai Vaishnava achar. So by doing that, you will be helping your consciousness to grow in Krishna consciousness. And slowly, slowly raise your consciousness higher and higher, higher, so that we become Krishna conscious. And that's the purpose of our life. And that's what Prabhupada says, the purpose of our life is not to judge the advancement based on how much money we have, how much mills we have, how much software, seats we have. You know, nowadays we don't talk so much about mills, but we talk about seats, right? This is a 100-seater, 1,000-seater office where everybody's working hard to develop software. It's Ugra Karma after all. But of course you make money through Ugra Karma and using Krishna's service. That's the perfection what Prabhupada taught us. You do whatever you need to do, but use it in Krishna's service. So that's what we are not going to judge our advancement by anything else, but our advancement is going to be judged by how we develop our love for Krishna, how we develop our love for His Vaishnavas, and how we make the order of the spiritual master as our life and soul. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitete Koryo Akya, Arna Koryo Mane Asha. That is going to be deciding the level of advancement of our lives. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, there is an important announcement. There is a two-day Bhagavad Katha in Hindi by His Holiness Haldar Swami Maharaj at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. This Bhagavad Katha will takes place on June 1st and 2nd, that is coming Wednesday and Thursday. Timings are evening 7 to 9 p.m. And there will be prasadam served to all the devotees. Hare Krishna.